Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And Jesus replied, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. It's been my experience, no one likes to pay taxes. Nobody likes paying taxes. No one gets up in the morning and gets excited about paying that extra 7.5% at the cash register or sending the check off to Uncle Sam. No one likes to pay taxes, especially to a suppressive government. No one likes paying taxes, especially if you're a Jew in first century Galilee. You don't like paying taxes. And especially if you're a Galilean Jew, you really don't like paying taxes, because we're told by a Jewish historian in the first century called Josephus, he wrote an account of a famous Galilean Jew in 6 AD named Judas the Galilean. And Judas, he really didn't like paying taxes. He was upset at the tax system of his day. And that day there were three taxes. Well, two at first. A land tax, so when you harvested the crops, you paid a portion of that to Rome. Then there was the duty tax, when you sold something in the marketplace, Rome took a portion of that. And the land tax and the duty tax were imposed upon all people in Rome. But there was a new governor in town, Quirinius of Syria. We're told this in Luke chapter 2. Quirinius was governor of Syria, and he comes to Judea to impose a new tax called the Censane tax, or census tax. And if you're an adult Jew, then you paid this tax. Everyone else, exempt. If you're a Galilean Jew, you had to pay an extra tax to be in subjection to the ruling Roman governing authorities over you. The census tax really incensed the Jews. I'm bad with puns. I have more. They couldn't stand giving more sense to people who were so insensitive. Okay. All right. Judas the Galilean was really upset with this census tax. So he raised a revolt. It would be later called the Zealots. They desired liberty from the Roman authorities. They held the conviction that God alone was the ruler and no one else. Therefore, no more taxes. Judas the Galilean would even go around and he plundered the properties of other Jews who paid the tax, because they were giving up their identity as Jews to those who were in authority as Romans. He would die in battle, Judas the Galilean, in 6 AD. His two sons, James and Simon, were crucified by the Roman authorities. No one likes paying taxes, especially Galilean Jews. So this census tax was a heated debate, hot button issue for decades in Galilee. No doubt that Jesus was fully aware what was at stake when he was approached by the Pharisees and the Herodians, who went and plotted how to entangle Jesus in his words. So the Pharisees sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, people from Rome, and they asked a simple question. Jesus, is it lawful to pay taxes? In Greek, the kensis, the census tax, to Caesar or not? They're talking specifically about this third tax that was only imposed on adult Jews. Imagine what it would be like in America if you, since you were a believer in Jesus, had to pay a tax that no one else had to pay. It would be a hot button issue. So Jesus, is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not? And you understand the position Jesus is in, because if he says, yes, it is lawful, he lets down all the Jewish people, the crowds who have this fervor of zealotism inside them. They don't want to pay taxes to the governing authorities, which is exactly how the Pharisees want him to answer. It would get all the crowds away from him. He'd dash all their hopes. The Pharisees want Jesus dead. But if Jesus answers no, well, then he upsets the Herodians who are also there. And they would know that he is out against the Roman authorities, and they would be able to do to him just as they did to James and Simon in 6 AD, crucify him for insurrection. Because the Herodians also want Jesus dead. You see, either way, Jesus is dead. And there's no way out of this question, which is what the question was so cleverly designed to do, to entangle him, to trap Jesus in his words. But you cannot trap the word of God in the flesh in his words. And Jesus sees exactly what's going on here. He sees right through their deceitfulness. He says, "Why do you put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the census tax," the census tax. And they brought him a denarius, and Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is on this coin? Whose image and name?" He said, "Caesar's." Jesus is reminding the Pharisees that they already acknowledge Caesar's authority by having in their own possession Caesar's money. His name, his image, it's his. And Caesar gets what's his. It belongs to him. Go ahead, take out a dollar bill, if you have one, out of your wallets. I don't have one. So, Scott, do you have one for me? Take out a dollar bill. I meant to grab one, but this is much better. Thank you, Scott.
Can you put it in a plate when you take them up there?
I'll think about it. On the dollar bill, you see names. The United States of America. Federal Reserve note and pictures. George Washington on the $1 bill. And on the back, you see images as well. The eagle. Caesar gets what's his. United States of America gets what's theirs. Their name, their picture belongs to them. And now me. Thank you, Scott. Nobody likes paying taxes. But Caesar is owed what his image and his name is on. Render to Caesar what is Caesar. The things that are Caesar's. His name, his image is on that coin. Render to him. Give back to Caesar what's his. You see, Jesus isn't a zealot. Allegiance, even to a non-Christian government, isn't incompatible with living in his kingdom. God is in control, and you can faithfully serve God and the Lord by rendering to Caesar what is his due. Caesar gets what's his. His name is on that coin. His image is on that coin. Give it back to him. This falls in line with St. Paul, who writes, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, and respect to whom respect is owed, and honor to whom honor is owed." Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. I wish Jesus would have stopped there. I wish he would have stopped, because that's easy. Give back to Caesar what's his is easy. You can do that. May not like it, but I can do that. But he didn't stop there. He said, "And render to God the things that are God's." The things that are God's. What are God's things? Certainly not dollar bills. not census taxes, not coins, not pictures of bald eagles or presidents. You. You are God's thing. For don't you realize whose image you were made in and whose name you bear? God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. In Isaiah 45, our Old Testament reading, I am the Lord, there is no other besides me, there is no God. I call you by name and you do not know me. I name you though you don't know me. I am the Lord who does all these things. You were made in the image of God, and he put his name on you in the waters of your baptism. Therefore, you owe him much more than just money. You owe him your entire life. And people really don't like giving up their life. Nobody likes giving up their entire life because you think it's yours. So you start living life for yourself or for others. Either way, you forget along the way whose you are. You give up your heart in desperation for attention of others because you have to be praised. You give all of you in order to gain adoration, and you give yourself over to your sinful desires. You give your hands to sin. Your eyes are given over to idols of your own making. You hold nothing back from your feet to run to or your thumb to scroll over. Jesus, don't you want to see me happy? Relieved, confident, don't you want to see me climb to the top and be the affection of others? He sees right through your deceitfulness. Why do you put me to the test, hypocrites? For you care far too much about man and far too little about God. Therefore, God gives you up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, Paul writes, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. You've spent far too long worshiping your own image. You were made in God's image, and his name is on you. You were made to worship God, not yourself. And not others. You won't find life there. Only a grasping after the air, a chasing after the wind. It will leave you exhausted, gasping for air and dead. The Pharisees who put Jesus to the test fail to render to God the things that are God's. They turn Jesus over to Caesar. And they take God himself and they put him on a cross by means of saving their own skins. The adoration and the respect of the people was far too enticing for them. So they spilled the blood of life while clinging to their very own lives, blood money, and idolatrous power. And without Jesus, that's all you have. Your own life. Money, power, and the praise of others. Without Jesus, that's all you have. None of which are important in God's eyes. Money, power, the praise of others, your own life, God's eyes. These things aren't important. Not important when you realize whose you are and whose name has been put on you in the waters of your baptism. Realize when you are God's child and you were made in his image and likeness and he's put his name on you. So give him back what's his. Render to God the things that are God's. Give the Lord your hands to praise him, your lips to shout his praise, throats that announce the grace of God in which you stand and boast in his forgiveness. Give back to the Lord your heart, all of it, sin, brokenness, shattered, all of it. He has made it new. And Jesus Christ, give back the Lord your mind. Think upon him and his grace, his abounding love and steadfast mercy. Give back to the Lord your strength. Your entire life, your blood, your sweat, your tears, because his name's on you and you are made in his image. Render to God the things that are God's, because God gets what's his. Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Amen.